the other gods. Atop the tallest of Earth's peaks dwell the gods of Earth, and suffer no man to tell that he hath looked upon them. Lesser peaks they once inhabited, but ever the men from the plains would scale the slopes of rock and snow, driving the gods to higher and higher mountains, till now only the last remains. When they left their older peaks, they took with them all signs of themselves, save once, it is said, when they left a carven image on the face of the mountain, which they call Granic. But now they have betaken themselves to unknown Caedith, in the cold waste where no man treads. They are grown stern, and where once they suffered men to displace them, they now forbid men to come, or coming, to depart. It is well for men that they know not of Caedith in the cold waste, else they would seek injudiciously to scale it. Sometimes, when Earth's gods are homesick, they visit in the still night the peaks where they once dwelt, and weep softly as they try to play in the olden way on remembered slopes. Men have felt the tears of the gods on white-capped Thoray, though they have thought it rain, and have heard the sighs of the gods in the plaintive dawn winds of Lyrian. In cloud ships, the gods are wont to travel, and wise codders have legends that keep them from certain high peaks at night when it is cloudy, for the gods are not lenient as of old. In Ulthar, which lies beyond the river sky, once dwelt an old man avid to behold the gods of Earth, a man deeply learned in the seven cryptical books of San, and familiar with the Nakatic manuscripts of distant and frozen Lomar. His name was Barzai the Wise, and the villagers tell of how he went up a mountain on the night of the strange eclipse. Barzai knew so much of the gods that he could tell of their comings and goings, and guessed so many of their secrets that he was deemed half a god himself. It was he who wisely advised the burgesses of Ulthar when they passed their remarkable law against the slaying of cats, and who first told the young priest Atal where it is that black cats go at midnight on St. John's Eve. Barzai was learned in the lore of Earth's gods, and had gained a desire to look upon their faces. He believed that his great secret knowledge of gods could shield him from their wrath. So resolved to go up to the summit of high and rocky Hathig Kla on a night when he knew the gods would be there. Hathig Kla is far in the stony desert beyond Hathig, for which it is named, and rises like a rock statue in a silent temple. Around its peak, the mists play always mournfully, for mists are the memories of the gods, and the gods loved Hathig Kla when they dwelt upon it in the old days. Often, the gods of Earth visit Hathig Kla in their ships of cloud, casting pale vapors over the slopes as they dance reminiscently on the summit under a clear moon. The villagers of Hathig say it is ill to climb Hathig Kla at any time, and deadly to climb it by night when pale vapors hide the summit and the moon. But Barzai heeded them not when he came from neighboring Ulthar with the young priest Atal, who was his disciple. Atal was the only son of an innkeeper and was sometimes afraid, but Barzai's father had been a landgrave who dwelt in an ancient castle, so he had no common superstition in his blood, and only laughed at the fearful cotters. Barzai and Atal went out of Hatheg into the stony desert despite the prayers of peasants and talked of Earth's gods by their campfire at night. Many days they traveled, and from afar saw the lofty Hatheg Kla with his aureol of mournful mist. On the 13th day, they reached the mountain's lonely base, and Atal spoke of his fears. But Barzai was old and learned and had no fears, so led the way boldly up the slope that no man has scaled since the time of Sansu, who is written of and with fright in the moldy Nakatic manuscripts. The way was rocky and was made perilous by chasms, cliffs, and falling stones. Later, it grew cold and snowy, and Barzai and Atal often slipped and fell as they hewed and plodded upwards with staves and axes. Finally, the air grew thin, and the sky changed color, and the climbers found it hard to breathe, but they still toiled up and up, marveling at the strangeness of the scene and thrilling at the thought of what would happen on the summit when the moon was out and the pale vapors spread around. For 3 days they climbed higher, higher, and higher toward the roof of the world. Then they camped to wait for the clouding of the moon. For 4 nights no clouds came, and the moon shone down cold through the thin, mournful mist around the silent pinnacle. Then, on the 5th night, which was the night of the full moon, Barzai saw some dense clouds far to the north and stayed up with Atal to watch them draw near. Thick and majestic they sailed, slowly and deliberately onward, ranging themselves around the peak high above the watchers and hiding the moon and the summit from view. For a long hour, the watchers gazed, whilst the vapors swirled and the screen of clouds grew thicker and more restless. Barzai was wise in the lore of Earth's gods and listened hard for certain sounds. But Atal felt the chill of the vapors and the awe of the night and feared much. And when Barzai began to climb higher and beckon eagerly, it was long before Atal would follow. So thick were the vapors, the way was hard, and though Atal followed at last, he could scarce see the gray shape of Barzai on the dim slope above in the clouded moonlight. Barzai forged very far ahead, and seemed, despite his age, to climb more easily than Atal, fearing not the steepness that began to grow too great for any save a strong and dauntless man. Nor pausing at wide black chasms that Atal scarce could leap. And so they went up wildly over rocks and gulfs, slipping and stumbling, and sometimes awed at the vastness and horrible silence of bleak ice pinnacles and mute granite steeps. Very suddenly, Barzai went out of Atal's sight, scaling a hideous cliff that seemed to bulge outward and block the path for any climber not inspired by Earth's gods. Atal was far below and planning what he should do when he reached the place, when curiously, he noticed that the light had grown strong, as if the cloudless peak and moonlit meeting place of the gods were very near. As he scrambled on toward the bulging cliff and litten sky, he felt fears more shocking than any he had known before. Then, through the high mists, he heard the voice of unseen Barzai shouting wildly in delight. I have heard the gods! I have heard Earth's gods! Singing in revelry on Hatheg Kla!
The voices of Earth's gods are known to Barzai the prophet. The mists are thin, and the moonlight is bright, and I shall see the gods dancing wildly on Hathaykla that they loved in youth. The wisdom of Barzai hath made him greater than Earth's gods, and against his will their spells and barriers are as naught. Barzai will behold the gods, the proud gods, the secret gods, the gods of Earth, who spurn the sight of men.
Atel could not hear the voices Barzai heard, but he was now close enough to the bulging cliff and scanning it for footholds. Then he heard Barzai's voice grow shriller and louder.
The mists are very thin, and the moon casts shadows on the slope. The voices of Earth's gods are high and wild, and they fear the coming of Barzai the Wise, who is greater than they. The moon's light flickers as Earth's gods dance against it. I shall see the dancing form of the gods that leap and howl in the moonlight. The light is dimmer, and the gods are afraid.
Whilst Barzai was shouting these things, Atel felt a spectral change in the air, as if the laws of Earth were bowing to greater laws. For, though the way was steeper than ever, the upward path was now grown fearsomely easy, and the bulging cliff proved scarce an obstacle when he reached it and slid perilously up its convex face. The light of the moon had strangely failed, and as Atel plunged upward through the mist, he heard Barzai the Wise shrieking in the shadows.
The moon is dark, and the gods dance in the night. There is terror in the sky, for upon the moon hath sunk an eclipse foretold in no books of men or of Earth's gods. There is unknown magic on Hathaykla, for the screams of the frightened gods have turned to laughter, and the slopes of ice shoot up endlessly into the black heavens, whither I am plunging. At last, in the dim light, I behold the gods of Earth.
And now Atel, slipping dizzily up over inconceivable steeps, heard in the dark a loathsome laughing, mixed with such a cry as no man else ever heard save in the Phlegethon of unrelatable nightmares, a cry which reverberated the horror and anguish of a haunted lifetime packed into one atrocious moment.
The other gods, the gods of the outer hells that guard the feeble gods of Earth. Look away, go back, do not see the vengeance of the infinite abysses, that cursed, damnable pit. Merciful gods of Earth, I'm falling into the sky!
And as Atel shut his eyes and stopped his ears and tried to jump downward against the frightful pull from unknown heights, there resounded on Hathaykla that terrible peal of thunder, which awaked the good cotters of the plains and the honest burgesses of Hathaykh and Nir and Ulthar, and caused them to behold through the clouds that strange eclipse of the moon that no book ever predicted. And when the moon came out at last, Atel was safe on the lower snows of the mountain, without sight of Earth's gods or of the other gods. Barzai the Wise they never found. Nor could the holy priest Atal ever be persuaded to pray for his soul's repose. Moreover, to this day, the people of Ulthar and Nir and Hathig fear eclipses and pray by night when pale vapors hide the mountaintop and the moon. And above the mists on Hathig Kla, Earth's gods sometimes dance reminiscently, for they know they are safe and love to come from unknown Kadith in ships of clouds and play in the olden way as they did when Earth was new and men not given to the climbing of inaccessible places.